So I'd like to emphasize how important the mind-body connection is in yoga. It underlies all of the practices that we do, and we make use of the mind-body connection to cultivate the development that we all aspire for. And to understand the mind-body connection, it's important to recognize that whatever's happening in the mind, whatever thought, whether it's a memory, an image, a feeling, an analytical, creative, or mundane thought, doesn't matter what it is, each passing thought has a unique physiological correlate, and it's on many different levels. So at the subtlest level, there's a unique pattern of neurochemical activity. The pattern shifts with each passing thought. Those of us who, from a yoga viewpoint, we tune into the energetic body, we understand with each passing thought there's a different pattern energetically in the energy body, the pranamaya kosha. On a grosser level of the brain, there's a unique electrical pattern that shifts with each passing thought. And if you have a very strong thought, an emotion is a strong thought, that you will experience certain sensations in the body. Okay, so if you have a strong thought, you will notice there's certain strong sensations in the body. So every thought, every state of mind has its own physiology. And one of the aspects of physiology that is reflected in changes in mental state is changes in the breath. Let's just tune into the mind-body connection in some everyday experiences. If I said to you that there's someone outside who's waiting out there in the reception area, and they're really, really down, you could just look at their body, you'd recognize the posture, the outer posture of the body, and you'd realize, oh, they're down. So what's going to be happening with their head? Down. Head would be down. Shoulders will be slumped. And if you're very attentive and you notice the breath pattern, what sort of breath pattern do you think you'd notice?
Shallow.
So it's going to be shallow and it's going to be a little bit more constricted, isn't it? So it's more like a sobbing breath. It's a bit more irregular, shallow and a bit more regular, a bit more like a sobbing breath. A bit more like that. Whereas if someone's out there and they're very anxious, you're walking past, you see someone who's anxious. Just on the outer level of the body, it's going to get reflected, isn't it? What might you notice? Think you might notice some fidgetiness.
Yeah,
People are restless, fidgety. Perhaps the eyes are moving around, darting a bit more. So there's different obvious signs that someone's anxious. So these are expressions of the body. Yeah, the shoulders could be tight. Now, if you were a bit more alert and you tuned into their breath pattern, what's happening when someone's anxious?
Short breath, short, shallow breath.
That's it. So it's short, shallow. So it's more rapid, shallow breath. That's what's happening. And often people will go into mouth breathing, which just increases the stress arousal and anxiety. So there's a particular breath pattern as well that we'd recognize with anxiety. Yeah? If someone out there is very angry, well, again, there's going to be expressions in their outer body posture. So straight away, whenever we're angry, we notice perhaps there's a lot of tension, tightness, feel very taut. And people might notice it, you know, in different places, but particularly, in the upper body, tightness in the neck, forehead, shoulders, all of that. And maybe a strong focus in the forehead, you know. And if you're tuning into the breath pattern, there's a very beautiful expression that has not been as, you know, popular in the currency, the English currency these days, but it's an expression that you sometimes hear, huffing and puffing. She was huffing and puffing. That is a very clear description of the breath pattern when someone's angry. Because the breath is much more forced, and there's more emphasis on the out-breath. Anyone relate to being angry? And recognize a bit of that breath pattern? So we've looked at someone who's really down, so when they're really down, someone who's anxious, someone who's angry, and we recognize that there's many different levels of physiology operating, from the outer posture to the breath, and of course we know from science that there's so many subtle changes going on. From yogic science we know there's different things going on energetically with these different states of mind. If someone's very relaxed, we know what's going on, we know how they're feeling in body and mind. As far as the breath goes, it's simple. The breath is deeper, slower, more rhythmic. And if someone has just experienced something extraordinarily beautiful, it just took their breath away, it was just, wow, the most magnificent sunset, and wow, it was just breathtaking, it was so awesome. We use that English expression, a breathtaking moment. Because what happens when the mind starts experiencing this deep expansiveness, this deep stillness, and opens this to profound beauty? What's going on in the physiology? The physiology deeply settles. And one aspect of this is the breath settles right down. So it can settle so much that it becomes still for a brief moment. This is the breathtaking moment. So whenever anyone is having the experience of a breathtaking moment, they're getting a little mini taste of what we call samadhi, the eighth limb of yoga, and also the goal of yoga, to have this as a permanent reality. But a little mini taste, to get a little taste on that experience of total connectedness, when the mind is profoundly settled, it's open to the joy, the wonder, the absolute beauty of some experience. So each state of mind has its own physiology on many levels, including on the level of the breath. So the great sages and yogis many thousands of years ago realized this and thought, well, if we make use of this, perhaps if we change our breath pattern, we can change our state of mind. And if we really work on improving our breath pattern, we could develop a more enduring state of happiness and well-being and deep ease. So this is what we draw upon in the limb of yoga we call pranayama. Because pranayama is about learning to expand and control the life force. The primary ways we're learning to do this are through the breath. So if we can learn to improve the breath, that'll make a big, big difference in our life. And of course we want to learn how to change the breath pattern when we are, you know, unsettled, anxious, agitated, annoyed. But what we really want is we want to cultivate a breath pattern that is supporting a more enduring sense of equanimity, ease, and fulfillment. So all of the eight limbs of yoga in some way are going to be influencing our breath pattern. The fourth limb, pranayama, is in a more obvious way going to influence it. Because let's just say you are very kind. There's just a moment of unconditional kindness to someone. The effect that will have on your physiology, if you are unconditionally kind, it will have a very settling and a purifying, settling and balancing effect on your physiology. And if we were going to monitor it, we'd recognize that. There'd be all sorts of ways you could tune into the chemistry of someone's state when they're feeling, really what we're talking about is a state of more love, aren't we? So when we're in sync with the yamas, they are having an effect on our physiology. Okay? Everything we do has an effect on our physiology. As Deepak Chopra observed many years ago, to think is to practice brain chemistry. every experience that we have, we metabolize in some way. So we're constantly creating not only our experience of life, but we're constantly creating our physiology. So from the yoga viewpoint, this is a very liberating concept, because we realize it doesn't matter what state the physiology is in, if we change our awareness, we can change our physiology. So the primary solution to all our health problems is to change our awareness, shift our state of mind, shift the stance, shift the awareness. And of course, it's also the primary way we solve any problem. The problem is never solved on the level of the problem, as every wise person has discovered, including Einstein. That we need to shift the awareness. You need to open up to another awareness, in something that's a bigger picture perspective, in order to solve the problem. The problem is that we're locked in the awareness that is the problem, creating awareness. So as soon as you expand awareness, you'll start to see other possibilities. So as well as being the underlying principle for approaching any of life problems, expand awareness, develop awareness, it's also actually the primary way we improve health and well-being. What we've done in this practice, we call this practice the in-sync integrated breath practice. It's a particular combination of yogic principles that we incorporate in a quite a precise way. And you've experienced the long version of that. Because we're wanting to learn more deeply, you've experienced the long version of that. And if you recognize how you felt before and how you felt afterwards, we'll generally find that there's quite a significant difference. How would you describe the difference before and after? What did you notice by the end of the... What did you notice?
Deep inner stillness and calmness and a connection with my breath at my abdominal area.
And how did your body feel?
Very relaxed.
Yeah, the same. I felt very calm and quiet. I didn't want to speak or even move for a little while. Just wanted to be. Yeah. And my body just felt extreme relaxation. Felt really good.
And how did you feel at the end of the session?
My mind was really melting, almost, it felt like. And I was surprised at how deeply I could breathe. And I wasn't as hungry.
So, just with these few responses, we can see that we've been utilizing the mind-body connection to shift states quite significantly. And I'll just take you through the steps of this practice, because what we did, the first thing we did is we tuned into the sensations of the body in contact with the floor or the mat, and then we tuned into the sensations in the body. So we were just being present with them, and we understand the body is this exquisite, intelligent system that is constantly communicating through the language of sensation. So this is a goal we could say we have, is to learn to understand that language, to understand our body a little more. When we started the breath practice, we went through the three primary areas of the lungs. So the lungs are pear-shaped, remember? And most people are very familiar with breathing into the upper lobes. Even though they mightn't experience it so much, that's the common way of breathing. People dominantly in our society have unfortunately not been taught to breathe very well. So a lot of people habitually breathe in the upper chest, so it's dominant upper lobe and mid-lobe breathing. What we really want is to have dominant lower lobe breathing. So all the yogic training is cultivating the use of the full potential of the lungs, but primarily we give more attention to the lower lobes. And what we discovered after we did the first stage, which was the clavicular breathing, second stage was the thoracic, third stage was the abdominal breathing, when we combined all that in the complete breath, we were breathing in the way that we're naturally designed to breathe. And this is a highly efficient way of breathing that has tremendous benefits for our well-being. We did a little something extra. In the fifth stage of the practice, we brought the hands one on top of the other to the navel region, and with each exhalation, we gave a little extra support to the abdomen moving down. And on the in-breath, we really activated the abdomen moving up. So we were extending the spaces at the end of the exhalation. And what we were doing in this process, the hands were helping us activate the abdomen a little more. By lengthening that space at the end of the exhalation, we were having an effect of settling the physiology even more. So when we do that in a natural way, we will settle more. Because the out-breath and the space at the end of the out-breath, these are the releasing breaths. So the more you focus on that, the more you relax. If we were forcing it, we wouldn't relax. Okay? So it's only when we're doing it in a natural way that we will relax. When we completed that part of the practice, because we were doing the first stage for a couple of minutes, the second stage, that is the clavicular, we did a little longer on the thoracic, turning into the thoracic area, and we did a couple of minutes in the abdominal area. But then when we put it all together, we got a sense of that natural rhythm, that wave-like movement through the torso many of us would have felt. And at stage five of the breathing, when we use the hands for support, we're having an effect of really stimulating that abdomen and increasing the settling effect, but also energetically we're having a soothing effect on that energy center. And the overall effect of the practice, right through to the end of that fifth stage of the breathing, is tremendously invigorating for the body. It's refreshing, it's like fresh supply of prana, and of course on all these other levels of the physiology the benefit is felt. When we finished the breathing practice, we went into another stage. There was some dharana involved in all of those stages of the breathing, wasn't there? We had to focus. So we're trying to do that in an easy, effortless way, but we had to focus. There was a dharana. But then when we'd finished that and we went into the last stage of this practice, we were just relaxing as there was a countdown. And we were just letting our awareness just be with the descending numbers and just having the feeling we're relaxing more and more. Now this is designed to encourage dhyana. After all that focused dharana with the breath, we're letting it go and we've got a little guiding mechanism to just draw us towards more stillness. So this is a dhyana experience. And when we went into the complete stillness, some of us would have had perhaps a brief moment of total stillness, which is maybe a little moment of a samadhi, so where we just felt deep silence, deep stillness for some moment. Maybe some of us had a little moment where we experienced the space between thoughts. This is a little moment of samadhi. So it's a very precisely designed practice to give us strong benefits and also training us to improve our breath pattern. So for me, this is a practice that is very helpful to do, which is a foundational practice to underlie the development of the limb of yoga we call pranayama. So this is something that will be good for us to practice in time. Any questions?